I do want you to know that the first line of fighting, guys, is going to be me. Because that scripture tells us don't get caught up in civilian affairs. But I think that civilian cares of the world, people who are not enlisted in the army of the Lord, those are the things that's going to get us in trouble. Spiritual warfare is not positive thinking. Spiritual warfare is not, I'm going to call the church prayer line, they're going to pray for me. Spiritual warfare is not wishing or hoping I can outlast this phase in my kid's life. No, that's not spiritual warfare. And the problem is that the devil is the head enlistment officer for this world, and he wants to appeal to the residual carnal nature that's in us. And that brings us to the three battlefields that we're going to have, okay? These are all scriptures out of James 4, 1 through 4, and out of 1 Peter 4, 1 through 4. And I just want to say, Lauren, you do such a good job with these slides. Thank you for your help, because I want everybody to stay up with this. So there's three battlefields. The first one, there is Satan, and there are satanic powers, and these are called the forces of darkness. There is a worldly dominion because we're in this world and it's a fallen world. And I just want to touch on this for a second. But the thing that I want you to realize is when they ate from the tree of knowledge, their eyes were opened up and they began to think this, you know, gosh, we've all eaten the fruit. You're born with the fruit, okay, of this sin. But we all think there's a place in our life where we're going to know more than God. Or we can figure something out, so we don't really need to ask God's help. Let's just figure this out. That's the spirit of the world that has a solution for things that are not related to God, but they can be masked as something that represents God, but they're not going to. That's why that teaching Steve's doing on Sunday is so important, because it won't bear the fruit out, okay? And that's not so we can go around judging other people's fruit. That's so I can look in the mirror and go, what's in me? Do I have love? Do I have peace? Do I have joy? Do I have, are these things manifest? And I'm going to tell you, when you start even in order of how he's been teaching those out of the word, love, joy, and peace, you want to measure the world up by those three things, you're going to find out really quick that these are not the fruit, because the world is being fueled by a passion of hatred. Fault-finding, hatred, offense, all the things that are not in God's tool belt. So that brings us to carnal nature, and that's you and me. And carnal, you know, who knows what carnitas is? What is that? Meat. So carnal is actually, it's under the control of animal appetites. Okay, that's what that means. So you and I, and that's out of 1 Peter 4, 1 through 4. Here's the thing. The enemy comes in and the world, and we have something happen to us. Whether other people view it as good or bad or not is irrelevant. But if we believe something's bad, everybody in here can tell you, oh, it's wonderful, it's good. But if a fear is in you, our carnal nature latches onto that and does not want to let go, because we're looking ahead of God. We're looking ahead by looking backwards of what has happened in the past. Tell the truth. Well, I know how this is going to end up. And we get into that mindset that we know things better than God. We want to avoid things. But here's the truth. I remember when I was going to have Charity, and I decided I was going to have her natural. And I, you know, been to the classes. We were going every week to these classes. We were driving from Waxahachie to Dallas, and, you know, they're preparing us for what it's going to be, explaining the intensity, the pain, what's going to happen. At one point, you're going to burn like fire and all these things. Wasn't scared a bit. One day I got home, I was cleaning the house after work, and I remember dusting up on this shelf, and the television was on, and all of a sudden this fear just overwhelmed me, and I was like, I'm going to have a baby. I'm going to feel this pain. oh my Lord, what was I thinking? You know, I need to go back and change this. You know, but I don't want drugs. I know what that does to the baby. And oh, you know, and all these thoughts were going on in me. Well, I happened to look at the television and there was a football game on. And it was just, the stadium was filled with people. And I looked at it and the Lord said to me, you see all those people? And I was like, yes. He's like, every one of them was born. I was like, right. Do they have support groups or women who've had babies? I was like, no, you're going to be fine. I was like, oh, that's right. There's not like trauma units. I had children, you know. And it, all of a sudden, it just shook me back into reality. But I had to have that because I got my eyes on the pain. And I still, you know, I'm still on the fence about that scripture that once you see the baby, you don't remember the pain. Because I do. I go in the delivery room with women still and go, you know, just, Anyway, but what I'm saying is, it's not that we don't trust God. It's that we're trusting what we see more than walking in faith. So here's the thing, man, once I realized that, you know, women aren't scarred for life because they had babies. I was like, dude, let's do this. I'm going to have me a baby up in her. I'm going to have me some children. I got all excited about it, you know, and then 19 hours into it, yeah, I was like, you just want something to be over. But here's the thing. I had been trained. I knew when certain things were happening, kind of where I was. I knew I was stuck at one point, right? It's Christmas night. They're delivering all these babies, and they're leaving me alone because I'm doing breathing and working without meds, right? So I didn't get all that extra attention. But when we're doing this, the next day, the doctor came in because, you know, clearly they're not there on Christmas, my regular doctor. I am bruised from here to here. It's a black bruise. So I'm like, okay, I had me a baby. And she looks at me and tears filled her eyes. And she said, what did they do to you? And I was like, what? She goes, Gay, you're not supposed to look like that. I said, I'm not supposed to look like this. She goes, no, honey, what happened? And what had happened was when I'm trying to breathe, this woman literally climbed up on me, Steve will attest to this, with her hands like this, went from the top of my stomach down and started pushing to push the baby out. So I'm bruised. I'm black and blue, literally black and blue. But I didn't know. I'd never had a baby. Listen to me. Because I'd never been there, I thought that was normal. And until she came in and I could see the look on her face and the tears in her eyes, that's when the fear came in because I was looking at her reaction. But the class had prepared me for what I was going through. And there's going to have to be a place, guys, in these battlefields where we say, you know what? Let's just do this. Get it over with. Give me your best shot, and let's just get it over with. Because I want you to know, it's not going to be my talents and gifts that are going to get me through things. God is going to use my talents and gifts. But if I believe my ability to, I can handle it, I can handle it, I can handle it, there's going to come a point where I can't. But that's a good thing. It's a good thing. There's not one football player or one good athlete that wasn't pushed to the point that they could not go on. I remember Jake telling us when he was in college, he was on a baseball scholarship, and he said that they would run them so hard and till they'd just be throwing up. And the coach would let them have water or whatever, and then he'd put them on the bus, and they'd go somewhere, and he'd stop the bus and say, run back. And they'd be just exhausted, every fiber. But when they got in those extra inning games, because they were being trained, because there was something happening to them, they were able to push through because they'd met a limit and went past it. So, man, let me just give you, you know, we're talking about difficulties here. You're still going to be met with difficulties on this earth. And you're going to have two choices because you're in spiritual warfare. This is not just, well, this happens in life. It's spiritual warfare because the enemy wants to kill you. He does not want you to have what God wants you to have. But I'm here to tell you tonight, you're going to have it. It is a benefit of your salvation. If I could give you an insurance policy and put it in your hand from Father God, maybe that would comfort some of you. But I want to tell you, you have the insurance policy already. You've got the word. But here's the difference. I can hide this in my heart, and it will come out of me in the situation so that I'm ready to do what I need to do. Paramedics, when they go to these scenes and things are happening, they know instinctively it comes out of them. One, two, three. They know instinctively what to do because somebody didn't just read them a book. They gave them practice. They were scared. There were things they didn't want to do. The other day we were talking to Maddie Sanders. Many of you know her, and her son is a fireman paramedic, and their little baby started turning blue. And he, being a paramedic, this is what I want you to hear in the spirit. He, being a paramedic, could not work on that baby. Everything went right out the window. This, to me, is so important for you guys to hear tonight. Because listen, on earth you're going to have difficulty. Two things are going to happen. You're either going to press through and say, I'm going to do this in spiritual warfare, or you're going to quit and you're going to be a casualty. Doesn't mean you're going to be dead in the grave, but it means you're going to lose that battle. And once you start losing battles, you will lose your confidence in who you are, because you and I can't do it. It has to come from Father God. And I'm here to proclaim this over you tonight. I'm ready for unprecedented victories. That's my word for you tonight. But here's what happens, guys. On earth, this is what a difficulty means. These are all synonyms: discomfort, inconvenience, nuisance, affliction, trial and tribulation. But this is how heaven hears it, because earth's always the opposite to heaven. Heaven hears training, exercise, advantage, and opportunity. So what I'm going through is training, it is exercise, it's giving me an advantage, because the weaker I get, the stronger he gets. That's right. So here we go. There's a revealing that needs to happen of the enemy. In the kingdom of God, there are no frenemies. Oh, that guy, he's my frenemy. We kind of go on and off. Look, with God, you're either his friend or you're not. You know, some of you are like, well, that sounds really harsh. That's not my word, it's his. I want to read this. Priscilla Shearer has already done the work for me, so I'm just going to read this like she wrote it. I'm going to give you, these are the meanings of the name Satan. You know how we have the meanings of the name God, you know, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Sitkanu, and what he means, God means? Let me explain to you what the enemy means. Number one, Satan means the adversary. He's the adversary of God. This is so important that you hear me on this tonight. He is the adversary of God. He don't care about you. He's using you to try to get to Dad. Anybody in here had trials and you overcame them and you're like victorious and you're doing it, and then the devil goes after your kids? This is exactly his MO. He couldn't get you. What's the next thing he's going to do? Go to somewhere where your heart is vested. So as the adversary, it literally means he is the adversary of God. The enemy is antagonistic to the plans and purposes of God. He will always seek to misconstrue and malign the character of God and to thwart the purposes of God. And that's out of Job 1:6. So I'm telling you tonight, this is an exercise. This is my training to get over these tactics and to begin to start trusting God to do what he says he's going to do. You're paying trainers to work your body until you're so exhausted you can't do anymore, to have them yell in your face, one more, give me one more. And you're paying them to do that. And when God gets in front of you and he's like, the Holy Spirit's like, continue, you can do this. You're like, get behind me, Satan. I'm so discomforted. I'm so inconvenienced. This is really a nuisance. And it's really God pushing you. So through the difficulty, you will turn to him and your gifts and talents will kick in and he will get the glory. And as Steve has already told you, the glory is God gets a higher reputation. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't he so good? Number two, I want to kind of run through these quicker. The devil means slanderous. Just because you love people, when they slander you, you're putting up with it. I'm not asking you to cuss somebody out. What I'm asking you to do is think, whose tool belt's that coming out of? Right? And don't get in agreement with it. The enemy's intention is to defame and malign the character and intentions of God and others in you. He will whisper lies in hopes of degrading God's reputation, which in turn will diminish your confidence in God and cause you to mistrust his direction. And the scripture references are with that and on your notes. Number three, Lucifer, day star or shining one. He always wants to represent something that sounds beautiful. The enemy's appearance is attractive, alluring, and charming. Because of this, he can approach you in an appealing way to lure and entice your attention and admiration. This deceptive package will often be the farthest from repulsive or foul, making his handwork difficult to detect. Tempter, number four, one who tempts people from the purpose of enticing them to sin. The enemy seeks to mislead your passion so that you will seek to fulfill them in perverted, illegitimate ways. I'm here to tell you that the things that you think are perverted are not what heaven sees as perverted. There's a twisted thinking into believing negative things about God, and that is perversion. There's a twisted thinking of what I let somebody else get me to doubt who God is. I'll keep going. Number five, ruler of the world means the enemy's approach is not isolated to individual. He's collectively, cultural, and global methods are designed to derail entire nation and people groups from God's intended plan. He carefully crafts and proliferates philosophies, doctrines, and moral perspectives across entire demographics in order to steer whole societies away from God. And by this, I mean, it's not blatant, guys. It's so subtle. Well, you know, at least they believe there's some God. Give them a little credit. No, they're deceived. And when trouble comes, they're going to have no hope. Number six, prince of the power of the air. Darkness means the devil does not work alone. He's the chief leader of the tribe of dark forces who seek to carry out his purposes. He's very real, yet there's an invisible realm that affects everything seen and heard in the physical, visible realm. Accuser means one who condemns. I want you to stop right there. Number one, let's go back to the list of the three battlefields. Number one, the enemy. We're fixing to hear another big boom here. The enemy is the first one. He's the prince of darkness. But he, guys, is the one who condemns. If you're caught up in condemnation or listening to people who condemn and you're getting caught up in it, you're under that influence. Number two, the world system. Just because everybody in the United Nations signs a document that we should hate people and disagree and condemn people who come out against something that the Word of God stands for, we still have to stand firm and strong in what the Word of God has told us. And I have to stand strong over my own carnal flesh that wants to get in agreement, because if you're honest, at the root of it, you don't want to displease people. We all want to be liked and loved. But instead of going to God in the morning and getting our love and affirmation, we're waiting for the people we see. Can I just tell you, you know, I hope they don't get offended, but I don't care. It's the truth. There's a place where your kids are going to leave and they're not going to come back and thank you for what you did. Even after they have their own children and have difficulties, instead of recognizing what you did, some of them are going to come to you and ask you to do it again for another generation. Who's with me in this house? Because our carnal nature is to please. And guys, please hear me. Tonight, I know the Lord is saying, the devil couldn't get you, he's going to your kids. If you can stand up in this battlefield and win that battle, there'll be another one. Because you're always in training. You're always being exercised. Those muscles are going to be flexed because there is a power that's being built in you that the enemy sees and he does not like it. And I don't give a rip if he likes it or not, because the kingdom of God will stand. God will always have a people. You're sitting in here tonight, and if we got united and got on our knees, the whole nation would change from the few of us in this room. He's the father of lies. I hope I finished this. He's a falsifier. The enemy's character contains no truth and no light. And when he speaks and acts, he'll always seek to falsify and deceive. He will blatantly and unapologetically misconstrue the truths of your personal reality and circumstance. He will also seek to mislead you with inaccuracies regarding God, his word, and his plans for you. And there are people who are miserable, and they want you to be miserable. And if you found peace in God, if they can't get you to give them peace by comforting and stroking, they're going to steal your peace, because that's where the phrase misery loves company comes from. These are not, guys, things of God. These are things of the enemy. And when people try to put these things off on God, you need to be quick to tell them, these are not God's tactics. So how do we overcome? I'm going to give you some scriptures. They're on your list. I'm not going to take time to read them all now. But here's what I wanted you to know. How do we overcome? Ephesians 6:8, which is prayer. At all times. We've already been over this. This is our study in salvation. Prayer at all times. All kinds of prayer. You know, I remember when I was almost T-boned out here on 28th Street, I saw the guy coming. There was nothing I could do. But those, like, 10 seconds seemed like 3 minutes. I was like, he's coming. I'm going to be it. And he's, like, coming full speed. And all this is going, and my first thought was, I must be doing something right. You know, smoke fills the car. I'm being, you know, it threw my car up on the, you know, on the sidewalk thing. And I'm like, you know, and I'm looking through the smoke and I see like this light pole trying to, you know, all that stuff. Guys, I'm telling you, we are conditioned. It's going to come out of us who God is, to trust him. And all I knew at that moment was, dear God. That was a powerful prayer. Dear God, you know. Now, have you ever driven in the car with somebody and you got saved? I'm just saying, you know, these are, yeah, keep moving. So 2 Timothy 2:3 and verse 10, there's a conditioning. We've kind of already talked about that. That's going to have to happen. The conditioning is that we let God continue to work through these situations and not be mad at God for them. Right? You may hate your physical therapist, but you've never been mad at the doctor for assigning you to him. 2 Timothy 2:4, he says, we overcome by keeping your focal point on him. Let this work finish. That's why we like to see the trainer in front of us going, you can do this, come on. The football players. At Haltom, I heard them, the coach and some of the players, telling how that the thing that encouraged them at some of those games, you know, where they were going undefeated and they're facing literally these giants of these teams who have dads that are professional players and they've got them the best equipment and the best everything. I want to tell you what I heard the coach say about that. He said that when he went into the thing with them, he told them, he said, they're going to have better uniforms. They're going to have better equipment. But there's nobody I'd rather be in a fight with than you guys, because you know how to fight, because you've had to fight for everything. And that coach said that those guys would say to him, man, did you hear the people in the stands yelling for us? Did you hear how that was? I want you to know there is a chorus in heaven singing out, you can do this. Keep trusting him. God is for you and not against you. You may have those testimonies, but there's an importance that you focus and tune in on what heaven is saying. When David had to fight Goliath, there was nothing he had to do but come out with those talents and gifts, because he had already been trained in adversity through the bear, through the lion, through the desolation of being out there alone and having to fight off loneliness and despair and being depressed and say, no, I've got something of value here. He had to go in and still speak what the word of God said against the enemy, knowing that they were mocking him, knowing that his brothers hated him for it. People are not going to want you to stand for God, but there's an enemy that needs to be defeated, and maybe we're the ones to do it. And if I'm not, I'm going to pray and say, God, send me some help. Send me some wisdom. Send me some help. However you want to do it, just send me. Then 1 John 5:4-5, there's faith. This is where I think we get confused, where it says faith without works is dead. My works are not my salvation, but my works show where my faith is. Because if I really believe my dad was going to spank me, I put the bike up, I cleaned the tools, I made sure they were back in the toolbox, right? So here's the deal. My faith is showing to all of you. My actions are showing you what my faith is. I'm not ashamed to tell you that there are days that I come into that office and it's like, I know I'm dragging, right? But we've got this thing where we can go together and just like, I don't know what's wrong with me. Y'all need to lay hands on me. You need to pray for me, because I don't care how I look. I want help and I want the Spirit of God. I don't need to be better than you, but I believe that that action, asking for help, asking for prayer, is not only bringing help to me, but it is showing others what to do when they get in trouble, because for some reason, people seem to think if you've got any kind of position at a church that you don't have the trouble and adversity other people have. And I want you to know the target on my back is the same as yours. It's not bigger and it's not smaller, because the goal is to get your soul. And the enemy knows he can't get God, so he's coming after his kids, and that's you and me. And dad's going to stand up and say, we are done here. But the training is going to have a purpose, and we're going to go farther the next time, and I'm going to bring somebody with me. Hebrews 11:1. Here's something great. How do I overcome? How do I overcome? Each person has been given a measure of faith. So I'm like, you know, if a mustard seed's this big, I probably have a tablespoonful, and I'm just getting them a mustard seed at a time. I can ask God to replenish my faith every morning. His word says his mercies are new. When? Let's say it together. His mercies are new. When? That's right. So when I get up, I can say, God, I kind of blew it here, and here yesterday. I put that under the blood. That was my training. I'm learning. I want to go farther. Help me to get it quicker. And here's the thing. Give me my measure of faith this morning to get through this day, because your word says you are my daily bread. I'm not looking to tomorrow. I can't answer for it. But I'm believing by faith that you've already been in tomorrow, that you've already left me handfuls on purpose. If you did it for Ruth, you're going to do it for me. If you did it for David, you're going to do it for me. If you could find him in a cave depressed and through acting crazy, you can do this for me. If you made provision in an upper room for Jesus and the disciples, knowing the day he was going to go and a colt that he was going to need to go into the city with, you can do this for me. Today, I'm asking for my measure of faith. Because we act like it's, oh, you get saved. Here's your little cup. Hope you don't use it all up. Keep asking. Keep asking. Keep knocking. Keep seeking. You know the scripture. And then John 16:33, be of good cheer. You're only going to get this from God. You're only going to get it from God. But we've been conditioned by watching other people. Oh, come, y'all, let's go. This, we're all going to go, you know, to wherever it is. You know, we need a break. Let's go here. Let's just forget about everything. You are putting off your training. Go through the situation, then come to the house of God and celebrate together and get up and say, I finished that. I overcame. Look what God did for me. And when we hear those unprecedented victories that have never been seen or heard before, I can't explain why some things go far and don't finish, but I'm not going to give God a bad rap. And not to embarrass you, but I'm telling you, we were in that room with Cassie. Every doctor, every specialist had told her not once, not twice, but three times. They kept having doctors come in and say, baby won't make it, baby won't make it, baby won't make it. So the dad's not even gone down to delivery because they've told him baby's not going to make it. Nurse bursts through the doors, tells him to come on. The 12-ounce or 11 or 12-ounce little girl is breathing on her own because they said in that room, we will not help this baby. We won't. We will not resuscitate. Too tiny. Can't do it. Can't be done. Don't have the equipment. The baby was breathing on its own. Okay? The baby's in heaven now. I don't understand it, but here's what I do know. The devil's a liar. And here's what I know. That woman wanted to hold her baby alive, and God gave her that. And whatever was ahead, according to Isaiah 57:1, whatever evils in the world that baby, those two baby girls could not have endured, God said, I'm going to keep them in the nursery till you get here. So I will not relent that was an unprecedented miracle because that was the smallest baby born at the hospital. Am I lying? No. So if you don't feel that you're effective, let me ask you this. Are you fighting back or are you just hoping for the best? And Gay, why are you giving me all this scripture? I'm going to tell you why. Because ignorance of the Bible is ignorance of Jesus, of his sacrifice and his provision. You are not going to stand before the Lord in heaven and say, I went to Christian Center and they didn't tell me the word. It's up here on the screens all the time. We're giving you the notes. There's the Bible study. I'm telling you, God can give you one sentence in a scripture in your house. Can I get an amen? And it be life-giving, like resuscitating life to your whole body out of three or four words, because the Spirit is alive. His word is alive and active. And if somebody can just speak it, you've heard us tell so many testimonies of just, you know, I hate it when people say, well, prayer, has it come to that? I'm like, ugh. Here's the thing, guys. Here's the thing. Prayer is, dear God, help me. I'm going to go in there and kill somebody. He hears it. Right? You invite him in. You go in there. You're shaking all over. And all of a sudden, something comes out of you like, I'm not going to argue with you now. Just want you to know I forgive you and I'm done. And you walk out and your flesh is going, I needed to crawl them good. And your spirit's going, great job. And you're like, I can sleep now. Here's the thing. Oswald Chambers said, we have to pray with our eyes on God, not on our difficulties. But I'm telling you that prayer can be simple. Thank you. Prayer doesn't have to be intricate. It doesn't have to be because I'm not praying like, you know, that guy on television. Guys, he's reading. Most of them are reading something, okay, that they've had hours to mull over. The best prayer. Really, that one of the best prayers I ever heard was in this church. And it was prayed by my daughter Leah. And there was a man, and I don't remember him coming back, but I just remember he had asthma. There were problems. And Steve said to Leah, gosh, she's probably 10, 10 or 11, I don't remember. But she went over, and God had miraculously healed Leah from asthma when she was little, like lips turning blue, sliding down the wall, runner to emergency. And miraculously healed her. And I just remember this man was so big, he said, about where you were, Dave. And he, you know, and she just walked up and put her hands on his back. She said, Lord, do for him what you did for me. Amen. The man breaks down and starts bawling. We find out later he's like this biker guy who wasn't dressed like it. Hard line. He needed a child with innocence just to pray a simple prayer. Don't belittle simplicity. Unexpected, unprecedented victory. So tonight I want to close this service by showing a video.
Is here as a Bethel Music family a few days before Christmas. Most of you guys probably.
I want you to stand with me right now. We're just going to begin to tell the Lord that we trust Him. I want you to begin to say over everything that happens right now, God, I invite you into the middle of this. You're my defender. I want you, God. Every accusation that's been turned against me, I take it right now and I just say, thank you, God, that you trusted me with this battle. Because, Lord, I will not be defeated. I'm wanting you to go in where my heart is hurt and I can't think. I need you to heal my heart. God, I won't lose my kids. I won't lose my grandkids. It's not too late. This world is not more powerful than you. The darkest dark lie, God, if they shut us down tomorrow and put bars on this church, you will not be stopped because I'm alive and your breath is in me, God. And you will have a people, and I want to be that person. Let the measure of faith come upon me now, God. I claim my daily bread, my measure of faith. Come back. Come back. We call back the spirit of life. Resuscitation over our nation. God, bring life right now, God. I do not believe that the end is near. I believe that you're the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And where there's an end, there's an Alpha. And we're going to start all over, Lord. And I want to be a part of what you're doing. Tonight, Lord, I pray in this room that any of us, God, that have gotten our eyes on people and what they think about us versus what I know about you, heal me from that wicked, carnal thought, God. Let my love, let my esteem, let my value be found in this, that he died for me. He gave his life for me. He paid the price for me. And nothing from hell or earth can take that away from me. And I will not be in agreement with the enemy. I stand in agreement with God that I will have victory because it's already been bought and paid for. And tonight I'm asking you in this room, will you quit looking at the bow and the wrapping and rip into what God has for you and use the things that he's given you? And if all you can say is, guys, I'm not getting caught up in this. My joy, my peace is not going to be found in what I'm wearing. It's not going to be found in a bottle. It's not going to be found on television. It's not going to be found in entertainment. My joy and my peace is not found in your opinion of me. My joy and my peace is not found in how much money I've got in the bank. Lord, if I need it, you can bring it to me and I don't even have to pay for it. I'm trusting you tonight, God. Can you just lift your hands and begin to say that? I say a hallelujah in the face of my enemy. I say over these things, God, in the name of Jesus, we are looking for unprecedented victories that have never been recorded, but we're going to record them in our journals. We're going to record them, God, in our Bibles. And after we're gone from this earth, our reward, our children and our children's children and the neighbor down the street may ransack my house, God, but if they open up that Bible, they will be saved because of the unprecedented victories that are coming forth tonight. Not just in my heart, but over my mind. I will not have the instinct of an animal. You have given us dominion over the animals, but I will have the instinct of the Spirit of God to say what you say and to do what you do, because you are more powerful than me, and I like it. Thank you tonight, God. Thank you tonight, God. Lord, I celebrate the victory over tomorrow. I celebrate it, God. I celebrate what you've already done, God, in these lives, Lord. I want to thank you tonight, God, that it's not too late. I thank you tonight, God, for victory, unprecedented victory. We give you all the praise for it tonight, Lord Jesus. We give you praise for it tonight, Jesus. We give you praise for it tonight, Lord Jesus. When my sister heard that song, she told me, she said, I woke up one morning a couple of days ago just singing that song. I'd wake up and it'd be going off in my head. And I sent it to my older sister and was like, you know, something about this song. And she said, when I heard that song, I thought that was Mama's song from heaven. Because I've told you the story how my mom made every doctor and everybody had to say hallelujah 3 times before they could touch her. And so I want to tell you, there's power in hallelujah. That name, that word is universal. You can say it anywhere in the world and people know what it means. It means praise God. That's something put in you and nobody can take it from you. Don't let the enemy steal from you. He's already seen he can't get you. He went to your kids. You're going to win that battle. Then he's going to go to your dog. Then after you win that battle, he's going to go back into your house. But you're going to win because you've been conditioned now how to win. This trial is giving me strength in the spirit. It will not take me down. It is bringing strength in the spirit because I'm becoming less and he's becoming more. And I want you to go, I'm serious about this. I want you to go home. I want you to write down the three, don't get carried away, three top things you're really trusting God for. Do it. Here's my three things, God. And you begin to call that out loud. Lord, I thank you that's going to happen, God, not because I'm wishing it, not because of positive thinking, but because, God, your word says, Lord, that you're a good God. Your word says that you're everlasting to everlasting. Your word says that nothing is impossible to you. Your word says that the seed that's planted will come to life, and I call it to life now in the name of Jesus. Amen? Woo, he's good. All right, you got to believe. Amen. I'm going to have some flyers on Sunday. And I want everybody, seriously, if you'll take one of these flyers, I'm going to have them on Sunday. And I want people to take them and put them in laundromats and in bathrooms or wherever you think people are. July the 27th, we're going to have a big citywide celebration at Haltom Theater. And they're asking the whole community to bring Christmas toys for Christian Center so we don't have to purchase them. So I want people to get to come to that, okay? Lots of other fun things, but let's promote that. Amen?